Chapter 3, The Answer Backer Cure. At 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Mrs. O'Toole put a peanut butter sandwich and a nice cool glass of milk on the kitchen table for her little girl when she came home from school. Pretty soon, the front door slammed and in bounced Mary, her red braids swinging like little ponytails. Her mother said, "How is school, darling?" Mary said as she gulped her milk and took a large bite of the sandwich, "Well, this afternoon, Miss Crabtree said, Mary O'Toole will stay in at recess and put the paint boxes away." And I said, Mary took another gulp of milk, "You're the teacher here, Miss Crabtree. Why don't you put away the paint boxes and let me go out and play?" Everybody in the whole room laughed but mean old Miss Crabtree, and she sent me into the cloakroom. Mary took another large bite and looked up at her mother expectantly to see if she would appreciate how smart she was. However, her mother said, "That was a very rude thing for you to do, Mary, and I am ashamed of you. When you finish your sandwich and milk, you had better go up to your room and stay until dinner. You can concentrate on how rude you were to nice Miss Crabtree." Mary pulled her mouth down at the corners, squinted up her pretty brown eyes, and said, "Why should I?" She kept her mouth pulled down and blinked her eyes rapidly in a most disagreeable way. Mrs. O'Toole was dumbfounded. Never had her little Mary acted in this horrid way before. She said quietly, "You should, because I tell you to. Now scat." Mary walked slowly out of the kitchen, switching her skirt and her braids and managing to look impudent, even from the back. When she reached the top of the stairs, she called down to her mother, "I'm going because I want to, but not because you tell me to," and dashed into her room and banged the door. That night at dinner, Mary was quite normal, but after dinner, her daddy said, "Scoot the dishes off the table, Wee-Ann. Your mammy's tired." And his dear little Wee-Ann, instead of jumping up and doing what she was told, pulled her mouth down until she looked like a sad jack-o'-lantern, squinted up her eyes, and said, "I'll do it because I want to, but not because you tell me to. Anyway, you eat here. Why don't you clear the table?" She blinked her eyes rapidly. Her father looked as though he might be going to give her a spanking, but then he noticed that it was time for the news. So instead, he went into his study, turned on the radio, and lit his pipe. Mary did clear off the table, and she dried the dishes, but she kept blinking her eyes and muttering. The next morning, her mother said, "Please hurry with your breakfast, Mary. The children are waiting, and you'll make them late for school." Mary pulled her mouth down and began blinking. She said, "I'm the one that's eating this breakfast, madame." She pronounced it madame. Mary's mother sighed and said, "If you only knew how unattractive you look when you talk like that, you would stop right now." Mary mumbled something into her mush, then grabbed her sweater and slammed out the front door. Mrs. O'Toole went to the telephone and called her friend Mrs. Ragbag. She said, "Hello, Mrs. Ragbag. Have you noticed any change in Calliope lately?" Mrs. Ragbag said, "Well, no, I can't say I have, Mrs. O'Toole. She seems to be studying hard in school, and she eats and sleeps well. Have you noticed anything wrong with her?" Mrs. O'Toole said, "No, it's not Calliope I'm worried about. It's Mary. Yesterday afternoon, she came home from school, and she seemed perfectly normal, and she looked all right. But she told me how very impudent she had been at school. I punished her, of course. In fact, I sent her to her room to stay until dinner, but she was impudent to me. She was rude to her father, too. I just cannot understand it. I thought perhaps all the children were acting this way." She pulls down her mouth, squints up her eyes, and blinks. "She looks hideous." Mrs. Ragbag said, "Oh, I am sorry, Mrs. Tool-Tool. Because Mary has always been such a dear little girl, I don't know what to suggest. Why don't you call Mrs. Keystop? You know what a problem her little Chucky is. She should have some ideas." Mrs. O'Toole said, "Thank you very much, Mrs. Ragbag. I'll call Mrs. Keystop right now." So she called Mrs. Keystop, but she wasn't at home. And the maid, Nora, answered the phone. Nora said, "Sure, and Mrs. Keystop ain't home, Mrs. O'Toole, but how is that Dear little Mary, the one with the beautiful braids. Mrs. O'Toole said, Oh, Nora, that is just why I called. Mary has suddenly become so impudent. She answers back, and she pulls her mouth down and squints up her eyes and blinks. She started yesterday, and I'm so upset. I called to ask Mrs. Keystop if she has ever had similar trouble with Chucky. Nora said, Sure, and there ain't any trouble she hasn't had with that Chucky. He's so rude, he talks back to himself. But I'm thinking you'd best call Mrs. Pigglewiggle. That little woman has forgotten more about children than we'll ever know. She even taught Hubert Prentice to pick up his toys. Now there's the spoilt child, Mrs. O'Toole said. Oh, thank you so much, Nora. I should have thought of Mrs. Pigglewiggle in the first place. I'll call her right now. Mrs. O'Toole called Mrs. Pigglewiggle and said, Oh, Mrs. Pigglewiggle, I am so worried about my little girl, Mary. Mrs. Pigglewiggle said, I know Mary. She has such beautiful red hair and such lovely brown eyes. Mrs. O'Toole said, Well, she still has the hair anyway, but her eyes don't look pretty anymore. She squints them up, pulls down her mouth, and then blinks. Mrs. Pigglewiggle said, She answers back and is impudent, isn't she? Mrs. O'Toole said, Yes, she is, but how did you know? I hope that she hasn't been rude to you. Mrs. Pigglewiggle said, Oh, no, Mary is always very polite to me, but I can recognize the answer back her symptoms. When was she first impudent? Well, yesterday afternoon, right after school. She was rude to dear Miss Crabtree, her teacher, and when I sent her to her room, she made this hideous face and said, I'll do it because I want to, but not because you tell me to. Mrs. Pigglewiggle, she walks in such a way that her braids twitch, and even her back looks impudent. Mrs. Pigglewiggle said, Don't worry so, Mrs. O'Toole. Some of the most charming children I know were once answer backers. Fortunately, Mary has only just begun, so she can be cured in no time at all. You drop by here after lunch, and I will give you Penelope Parrot to keep for a while. Mrs. Garrison has been using Penelope, but she has had her for a month now, and Gary should be cured by this time. Now, don't worry, Mrs. O'Toole. Penelope is a cure for even the most stubborn cases of answer-backishness. Mrs. O'Toole hung up the phone, and she felt much better. Right after lunch, she went down to Mrs. Pigglewiggle's house and got Penelope. Penelope Parrot was a large, cross-looking green bird who blinked rapidly. Mrs. Pigglewiggle said as she handed the cage to Mrs. O'Toole, Fortunately for you, Penelope will only talk to children. During the walk home from Mrs. Pigglewiggle's house, Penelope was quiet in a very cross, blinky-eyed sort of way, and when Mrs. O'Toole hung her cage in the kitchen, she hunched down and put her head under her wing. But when Mary came in from school, Penelope woke up and began preening her feathers. Mary was delighted with Penelope. She said, Oh, Mother, I've always and always wanted a parrot. Do you think she can talk? Mrs. O'Toole said, She hasn't said a word since I brought her home, but I was told that she speaks only to children. Mary said, Where did you get her, Mother? Is she for me? May I have her in my room for my very own? Her mother said, I am keeping her for a friend of mine, but when you play in your room, you may hang her cage by the window. Mary brought her milk and cookies over by Penelope's cage and was very surprised when Penelope blinked and said rudely, Give me a bite, pig! Mary broke off a piece of the cookie and poked it through the bars of the cage. Penelope snatched it and said, Thanks, pig! Mary turned to her mother. She's certainly not very polite, is she? Her mother said, Perhaps she has been around rude people. After all, she is only a parrot and repeats what she hears. Penelope blinked her eyes and said, Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah! Mrs. O'Toole looked a little shocked, but Mary laughed and said, May I bring the children in to see her, mother, may I? Before Mrs. O'Toole could answer, Penelope began hopping up and down, blinking and yelling. Say, are you the boss around here? Are you the boss around here? Are you the boss around here? Mary's mother said, I am the boss around here, Penelope, and if you are not more courteous, I'll put a cloth over your cage. Penelope blinked and muttered. Mary bounced up and down excitedly. What will that do, Mother? What will that do to Penelope? Mrs. O'Toole said, if I put a cloth over her cage, she will think that it is night and go to sleep. Penelope squawked. I'll do it because I want to, but not because you tell me to. Mary was certainly surprised at that, because she thought that she had made up that brilliant remark. She didn't dare to look at her mother, so she put on her sweater and went out to find her playmates. Pretty soon she came back with five little friends, and they spent the afternoon standing around Penelope's cage and laughing at her rude remarks. This worried Mrs. O'Toole. If Mary thought Penelope was so amusing, then perhaps she would imitate her and become ruder than ever. So she called Mrs. Pigglewiggle. She said in a low voice so the children in the kitchen could not hear, Mrs. Pigglewiggle, I am rather worried because, although Penelope is very rude to the children, they don't mind at all. Mary thinks she is very funny and laughs at everything she says. Mrs. Pigglewiggle said, Just remember, Mrs. O'Toole, that this is only the first day with Penelope. Let Mary be with her as much as she wishes. Keep Penelope's cage in the breakfast nook when Mary eats her lunch, and breakfast, and in the dining room at night. Hang her cage in Mary's bedroom when she goes up there to play, and have Penelope sleep in Mary's room. I am sure that you do not have to worry. Penelope has never failed me. Mrs. O'Toole said, All right, Mrs. Pigglewiggle, I'll do just as you say. Goodbye. Just before dinner, Mrs. O'Toole said to Mary, Mary, dear, send your little friends home now. It is time for you to set the table. Mary turned to her mother and began pulling down her mouth, squinting her eyes and blinking. But before she could say a word, Penelope yelled out, Say, who's the boss around here? Who's the boss around here? Who's the boss anyway? Mary's mother quickly put a cloth over her cage, politely asked the children to leave, and sent Mary in to set the table. When Mr. O'Toole came home from the office, she took the cover off again to show him the parrot, and then she hung Penelope in the dining room window. After dinner, Mary's daddy said, Up on your toes, Miss Molly O'Toole, and scoot the dishes out to the kitchen. Mary pulled down her mouth, squinted up her eyes, blinked her eyes, but Penelope said, What am I, a servant? Work, work, work. What am I, a servant? Say, who's the boss around here? Mary's daddy laughed so hard the tears ran down his cheeks. But Mary stuck out her tongue at Penelope, who bounced around yelling, Only snakes stick out their tongues. Only snakes stick out their tongues. Mary pulled her tongue in quickly and shut her lips tight together. My, but she thought Penelope was horrid. Mrs. O'Toole hung Penelope's cage in Mary's room, and Penelope squawked and made so much noise that Mary finally said, Oh, be quiet. And Penelope blinked and said, I'll do it because I want to, but not because you tell me to. I'll do it because I want to, but not because you tell me to. Mary flounced into bed and turned off the light. The next morning, Mary was very slow. She could not find one of her socks, and she couldn't button her dress. And finally, her mother called, Mary, hurry, dear, breakfast is waiting. Mary pulled down her mouth and squinted up her eyes and said, Oh, hurry, 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 hurry yourself. Penelope had been preening her tail feathers. When she heard Mary, she jerked her head up and said, Oh, hurry, 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 hurry yourself, slowpoke, hurry yourself, slowpoke, hurry, slowpoke, hurry, slowpoke, hurry, slowpoke, hurry, 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 hurry. Mary said crossly, Oh, be quiet, Penelope. Penelope said, I'll do it because I want to, but not because you tell me to. Say, who's the boss around here? Yeah, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Mary ran downstairs and sat down to breakfast, leaving Penelope still shouting. But Mrs. O'Toole ran upstairs and got Penelope and hung her cage by the kitchen window. When the children called for Mary and Mrs. O'Toole said, Hurry, dear, you will make your friends late for school. Mary pulled down her mouth and squinted up her eyes and blinked, but before she could say a word, Penelope squawked. I'm the one who's eating this breakfast, madam. Hurry, hurry, hurry. That's all I hear. Hurry yourself, slowpoke. Mary was ashamed to look at her mother, so she rushed off without kissing her goodbye. Penelope yelled after her, Hurry, slowpoke, bell's ringing. When Mary came home from school that afternoon, she kissed her mother and said, Mother, I apologized to Miss Crabtree today, and she said that next week I may be monitor for the scissors. Penelope yelled, Who said so? Who said so? Who said so? Who's the boss? Who's the boss? Mary turned to Penelope and said, You are a very rude bird. If you don't hush right now, I will put the cloth over your cage. Penelope blinked and said, Hush, hush, hush. That's all I hear. I'll do it because I want to, but not because you tell me to. I'll do it because I want to, but not because you tell me to. Who's the boss here anyway? Mary's mother said, I am the boss, and I think it is time you went home, Penelope. Mary, would you like to return Penelope to Mrs. Pigglewiggle? Mary said, Oh, yes, mother. And may I stay and play? Mrs. O'Toole said, I think you had better come home and practice. Your music lesson is tomorrow, you know. Mary started to draw down her mouth, squint up her eyes, and blink. But suddenly she looked at Penelope, and so she turned up her mouth, opened her eyes, and smiled. She said, All right, Mother. I'll come right home after I return that rude Penelope. The Selfishness Cure, Chapter 4. Dick Thompson was certainly a nice-looking boy, and he was smart in school and behaved well at the table. But whenever his name was mentioned, people said, Poor, poor Mrs. Thompson. She has such a problem. Whatever will she do with that child? I guess that you would feel simply dreadful if people said a thing like that when your name was mentioned. But Dick didn't, you see. Dick Thompson was a selfish, greedy boy, and he cared more about being a selfish, greedy boy than about what people said. When children came over to his house to play, Dick said, Don't touch that! That's mine! You can't play with that! That's mine! Put down my ball! Take off my skates! Each time this happened, at least each time it happened where his mother could hear Dick saying, That's mine! She would send him up to his room to think about how selfish he was. Dick would go right upstairs, for he was very obedient, but instead of thinking how bad it was to be selfish, he would sit on his bed and swing his legs and think, Everything in this room is mine, and nobody is going to touch my things. He certainly was a problem. One day, Dick's mother bought a big box of peppermint sticks. She called Dick into the house and said, Now, dear, I have bought this large box of peppermint sticks for you, but I want you to share them with your friends. There are about 50 sticks in the box, and I want you to divide them with all the children in the neighborhood. Don't forget the little children, Dick, and you might send one or two to old Mrs. Bury. She is so fond of peppermint. Dick said, Thank you, Mother, for the fine candy. Then he took the box out of doors and put it in the basket on the front of his bicycle and allowed the neighborhood children to look at the peppermint sticks. But he warned them, This is my candy, and if anyone touches it, I will hit him with my baseball bat. Children in his neighborhood had known Dick for some time, and they knew that he meant what he said. But as they looked at the candy, they wished and wished they could have just one stick. Dick's mother, watching from the window, saw all the children gathered around Dick and the box of candy in the basket on the front of his bicycle, and she thought to herself, Just look at my little Dick, dividing the candy with all of his little friends. I just knew he would learn to be generous. And she tapped on the window, and when Dick looked around, she waved and smiled at him. Dick waved and smiled back. But unfortunately, just then, Mary O'Toole, who was quite daring, reached in and grabbed a stick of the candy, and crack! Dick clouted her on the hand with the baseball bat. In a flash, his mother saw what was really going on. She flew out the front door, took Dick firmly by the arm, and marched him upstairs, thrust him into his room, and slammed the door. Then she went downstairs and out the front door, took the box of candy, and told Mary O'Toole to divide it up among all the children, even the little ones, and to take one or two sticks over to old Mrs. Bury because she was so fond of peppermint. There were 15 children, not counting Dick, and 50 sticks of candy, so each child was given 3 sticks, and old Mrs. Bury got 5. From the window of his bedroom, Dick watched Mary divide the candy, and he was just furious. After all, the candy had been divided. Mrs. Thompson went into the house and called Dick's father. She said, "Herbert, I know that you are busy and you don't like to have me call you at the office, but I am so worried about Dick." Dick's father said, "What is the matter? Is he sick?" Dick's mother said, "No, but I just wish he were. It would be so much simpler." Mr. Thompson said, "Now, dear, I am very busy, so perhaps you had better wait until I come home." Mrs. Thompson said, "Herbert, this cannot wait another minute." And she told him about the candy and the baseball bat. Mr. Thompson said, "Why not give him a good hard spanking? Tell him that you are going to give him something that he can keep all to himself." "Ha, ha! Now, Herbert, this is not a laughing matter, and I don't think a spanking will solve a thing. I just don't know what to do or which way to turn." And Mrs. Thompson began to cry, partly because she felt so humiliated over Dick's selfishness, and partly she knew that crying was one way to get action out of Dick's father. Dick's father said, "Now, now, dear, tears won't help. Let me see. Shall I hop into a taxi and come home and thrash Dick?" Dick's mother only cried louder. Dick's father said, I know just what to do. Call that Mrs. Piggle-Wiggle, or whatever her name is. You know, the one who cured Hubert Prentice? Oh, call that Mrs. Wriggle-Spriggle, or whatever her name is. You mean Mrs. Piggle-Wiggle. Oh, Herbert, you are so wonderful. I knew you would think of something. I'll call her right away." And Mrs. Thompson blew her nose and cheered right up. Mothers always do cheer up when they think of Mrs. Piggle-Wiggle because she knows so much about children. After all, she has had about 1,000 little boys and girls come to her house to pull taffy, play checkers, bake cookies, drink cambric tea, and dig for the pirate gold buried in her backyard, and so she has had plenty of opportunity to learn about childish ailments and the cures for them. She was certainly the person to ask about Dick, the selfish boy, and so Mrs. Thompson telephoned her. She said, "Hello, Mrs. Piggle-Wiggle, this is Mrs. Thompson, Dick's mother." Mrs. Piggle-Wiggle said, "Hello, Mrs. Thompson, I have rather expected you to call." Mrs. Thompson said, "You have? Why?" "Because I know Dick very well," said Mrs. Piggle-Wiggle. "And although he is a dear little boy, and the most well-mannered child who comes to me visit me, never once forgetting to say thank you and please, he is very selfish." "Oh, I know he is, I know he is," said Mrs. Thompson, almost crying because she was so ashamed that Mrs. Piggle-Wiggle should know how selfish Dick was. Mrs. Piggle-Wiggle said, "Now, Mrs. Thompson, do not feel sad. Selfishness and greediness are just diseases, like measles and chickenpox, and can be cured very easily. But we must start now before another day passes, because Dick is such a nice little boy, and we want everyone to like him as we do." "Oh, do you like him in spite of his selfishness?" asked Dick's mother. "Of course I do," said Mrs. Piggle-Wiggle. "I love all children. But it distresses me when I see a child who has a disease like selfishness or answerbackism or won't put away toysitis, and his parents don't do a thing to cure him." "But I want to cure Dick," said his mother. "I will do anything to cure him." Mrs. Piggle-Wiggle said, "The selfishness cure is really very simple, but the rules must be followed very strictly. You will have to come down here and get my selfishness kit, and at the same time I will give you the directions for its use." "Thank you so much, dear Mrs. Piggle-Wiggle," said Mrs. Thompson. "I will leave right now." And she hung up the phone, slipped on a jacket, and ran all of the way to Mrs. Piggle-Wiggle's house. When she arrived, Mrs. Piggle-Wiggle was on the front porch waiting for her. On the porch beside her was quite a large green metal box with "Selfishness Kit, painted on its side in white letters. Mrs. Piggle-wiggle invited Dick's mother to sit down, and then she opened the kit. Inside were about 25 padlocks of various sizes. There were great big ones about the size of apples, down to little tiny ones, not much larger than a penny. Also, there were screws and a screwdriver, a box of cloth labels that said Dick, a box of blank gummed labels, a small can of white paint, a small can of black paint, a small paintbrush, and a pastry bag. This is a large bag with a nozzle on the end, which, when filled with frosting, can be squeezed, and the frosting comes out the end like toothpaste and can be formed into words. Mrs. Pigglewiggle said, "Mrs. Thompson, these padlocks are for Dick's drawers, his closets, his toy chest, his bicycle, his bedroom door, his nightstand drawer, and his toothbrush. As soon as you get home, put the padlocks on everything he owns and give him the keys. This is to assure him that he and he alone can touch his things. The name labels are to be sewn in all of his clothes, and the gum stickers are to be put in all of his books, even his school books, notebooks, pencil boxes, and are to be pasted on his ruler, crayons, and paints. On each sticker, print in large letters with this black paint, 'Dick's book, don't touch,' 'Dick's notebook, don't touch,' and so forth. On every toy he owns, you must paint in either black or white paint, 'Dick's ball, don't touch,' or 'Dick's bat, don't touch.' Put the name of the toy first, and then 'don't touch.' The pastry bag is to be filled with a simple white frosting and used to mark Dick's sandwiches, his fruit, his cookies, and his plate for each meal. That's all there is to it. I expect you will be returning the selfishness kit before a week has passed." Mrs. Thompson said, "I do hope so, Mrs. Pigglewiggle. Are you sure it will work? It has cured hundreds of other children, and I see no reason why it should not cure Dick. A week or even less, I should say." Mrs. Thompson thanked Mrs. Pigglewiggle very much, and then, lugging the kit, she walked home. As soon as she had hung up her jacket, she began sewing the labels in all of Dick's clothes. He asked her what she was doing, and when she showed him, he was as happy as could be. "Boy, that will just show people who owns my clothes," he said proudly. Mrs. Thompson did not answer, but continued to put the labels on every single stitch of his clothing, including his socks and his handkerchiefs. Then she opened the kit and took out the tiniest padlock. She fastened Dick's toothbrush to the toothbrush rack with a little padlock, snapped it shut, and handed the key, which was not much bigger than a pin, to Dick. "You had better find a ring to hold your keys," she said. "You are going to have about 25 of them." "Boy, that's just wonderful," Dick said, fondling the tiny key and thinking, "That's my toothbrush, and now nobody but me can touch it." He was very happy. When dinner time came, Mrs. Thompson closed the selfishness kit and took it downstairs to show Dick's father. She told him about Mrs. Pigglewiggle, and he patted her on the back and said that he was sure everything was going to be all right, and where was the evening paper. After dinner, they went upstairs to put some of the padlocks on and were surprised to find that Dick himself had already put the locks on each of his bureau drawers, his nightstand drawer, his toy box, his closet door, and his bedroom door. He had also put stickers on the covers of all his books, notebooks, coloring books, crayon, and colored pencil boxes and stamp album. On the stickers, he had printed in black paint, "Dick's book, don't touch. Dick's notebook, don't touch. Dick's crayons, don't touch. Dick's pencil box, don't touch. Dick's stamp album, don't touch." He was very proud and asked his father if he didn't think he printed well. His father said, "You should be able to print well. You have certainly practiced enough," and he looked disgustedly around the room at the stickers which labeled everything. "Dick's brush, don't touch. Dick's comb, don't touch. Dick's window blind, don't touch." He turned to Dick's mother and said, "Perhaps we should wear stickers. Dick's mother, don't touch. Dick's father, don't touch. I bet he'll wear monogrammed underwear when he grows up." Mrs. Thompson said, "Oh, I hope not, Herbert." Dick said, "Come on, Mom and Dad, let's mark all the rest of my stuff." And so they worked until 8:30, marking Dick's bicycle, his baseball, his bat, his pitcher's glove, his catcher's glove, his toolbox, his roller skates, his lunchbox, his rubber boots, his raincoat, his Indian suit, his soldier suit, his gun, and his wagon. They even painted "Dick's dog, don't touch" on Rover's collar. When they had finished and it was time for Dick to go to bed, he kissed his mother and said goodnight to his father and went happily up the stairs, his ring of keys jingling from his belt. Mr. Thompson sank down into a chair in the living room and lit his pipe. "I trust that Mrs. Pigglewiggle knows what she is doing," he said, "because if this cure should not work, our son Dick is going to be the most loathsome boy in the whole world." Mrs. Thompson said, "Oh, no, dear, not in the whole world." The next morning, they heard Dick clicking and snapping at his padlocks long before they were up. He was a little late coming downstairs because it took him time. Took time to padlock all of his drawers, his closet door, and the door of his room. But he was very happy, and his mother noticed that he had pinned one of the name labels on the outside of his sweater. While he was eating his breakfast, marked "Dick's breakfast, don't touch," his mother marked his sandwiches, "Dick's sandwiches, don't touch," and his apple, "Dick's apple, don't touch," and his cookies, "Dick's cookies, don't touch." His lunchbox had already been marked, "Dick's lunchbox, don't touch." After breakfast, Dick put the lunchbox in the basket on his bicycle and noticed proudly the large sign hanging from the crossbar, "Dick's bicycle, don't touch." At school, the children paid little attention to the sign on his bicycle, but when he opened his lunchbox and took out the sandwiches marked "Dick's sandwiches, don't touch," and the apple marked "Dick's apple, don't touch," and the cookies marked "Dick's cookies, don't touch," everyone laughed and wanted to see them, and in the resulting crowding and pushing, one of the sandwiches was dropped and stepped on, and some of the big boys grabbed the apple and tossed it in the air just above Dick's head, shouting, "Throw me Dick's apple! Oh, look, I dropped Dick's apple. I wonder if Dick's apple will bounce." When they finally gave Dick his apple, it was bruised and very dirty. In arithmetic period that afternoon, Bobby Slater across the aisle asked Dick for his ruler, and when he saw the label "Dick's ruler, don't touch," he began to laugh and reached over and snatched the ruler off Dick's desk and passed it to Kenny Hatch, who laughed and passed it to the girl in front of him. And finally, Miss Crabtree had to come down and get it. When she saw the sign, she laughed too, but she gave the ruler back to Dick. After school, the boys decided to play baseball in the vacant lot by Dick's house, but when Dick brought out his bat and ball and mitts, and the boys saw "Dick's ball, don't touch," "Dick's bat, don't touch," they said, "We can't touch anything, so let's go home." And they did. Dick went up to his room to play, but he found that somewhere during the day he had lost the key to his closet and that he had locked the key to his toy chest in the chest. So he went down and sat on the front porch and listened to the shouts of the children playing in Hubert Prentice's yard. The next morning at school during recess, nobody would play with him, and the little girls followed him and laughed. When they marched into school, the children pointed and laughed. And Miss Crabtree came down to see what was the trouble, and she almost laughed herself when she saw the sign someone had pinned on the back of Dick's sweater. It said, "This is Dick, don't touch." At lunchtime, the children crowded around to watch him take out his sandwiches, and one little girl said, "He's so selfish and greedy, he has his sandwiches marked so he can't share them." Then the children danced around him and chanted, "Dick's sandwich, don't touch. Dick's apple, don't touch. Dick's lunchbox, don't touch." Finally, Dick took his lunchbox out and put it in the basket on his bicycle. But the children followed him, and seeing the big sign, "Dick's bicycle, don't touch," They yelled and laughed and sang, "Dix, don't touch, don't touch Dick, Dix, don't touch Dick." After school, Dick hurried right home, but he had lost the key to his room. So he went down to the basement to play with his toolbox, but every time he saw the large white sign, "Dick's Toolbox, don't touch," he thought of school and the lunchbox, and he remembered how the children laughed and jeered, and he was ashamed. At dinner, when his mother brought him his plate marked "Dick's Dinner, don't touch," he said, "Aw, why do you have to mark my plate? I don't care which one I get." Mrs. Thompson looked significantly at Mr. Thompson and said, "All right, Dick, we won't mark your plate if you will share your dessert with Rover." Dick thought for a few minutes, and then he carefully broke his chocolate cake into two equal pieces and gave one to Rover, who gulped it down and looked grateful. After dinner, Dick told his father he had lost the keys to his room and the closet, and so his father took off the padlocks on those doors and on the toy box. Dick said, "Don't put them back, Dad. I don't care who goes into my room or gets into my stuff." The next morning, Dick got up early and scraped the "Dick's Lunchbox, Don't Touch" from his lunchbox and took the sign off his bicycle. Then he went into his mother and said, "Mom, please don't mark my sandwiches. Please don't mark any of my stuff, Mom." Mrs. Thompson said, "All right, Dick, I only did it to protect you." Dick said, "I don't care who gets my lunch, just don't mark it." At noon, all the children gathered around Dick, but neither his sandwiches, nor his apple, nor his lunchbox were marked, so they rushed out to see his bicycle, but there was no sign on it, so they sat down and ate their lunches. Right after school that night, Dick hurried home and scraped the marking off his ball and bat and mitts, and then he walked up to where the children were playing ball, and tossing the ball, bat, and mitts down beside the catcher, he said, "Do you want to use these? I don't care." And he went back to his own house. In a little while, Mary O'Toole rang the doorbell and asked Mrs. Thompson if Dick could come out and play. Mrs. Thompson said he'd love to, Mary, but first he must return something to Mrs. Pigglewiggle. Mary said, "Tell him to come over to the lot when he gets back, and here are some keys he lost." Mrs. Thompson said, "Thank you for the keys, dear, but thank goodness they belong to Mrs. Pigglewiggle, not to Dick." She took the keys of the big padlocks and the tiny padlock up to Dick, who was in his room busily packing Mrs. Pigglewiggle's selfishness kit.